Then welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz, and joining me this time on the Skulls Cast is Special Jen. Oh. And BB. Here, BB.
We have a lot of special guests.
Yeah, today. We just lots of special guests. That's right. She was being really quiet, so I don't know what was up with that. She must have heard something outside. I can't hear anything right now. I have the earphones on. But anyway, this is... I'm not starting over again. We're rolling with it. Dog is a part of this. Here, come here. Come here. You wanna come up? Maybe she'll be quiet if I'm holding her. Yeah! Dog can also join in on the magic. I have special guests this time because we're going to talk about Magic the Gathering, basically.
Yeah. The trick was that I was never a part of any Oaths, so I can talk about magic all I want.
That's right. So we're doing a Shadows Over Innistrad set review. We're going to be doing this by color, and we're starting with the red cards. If you want to see what we're seeing, then you can go to the official Wizards visual spoiler.
Mm-hmm. They have them all sorted nice and fine there.
So you'll be seeing what we're seeing at the very least. We're going to not talk about any of the... double-faced cards.
PB.
It's okay. See, it's just Mom. Yeah, you want to go say hi to Mom? I think this is just going to end up being like a dog recording more than it is about magic cards, but that's just fine. Let's start ourselves off with Avacyn's Judgment.
Right. Avacyn's Judgment is a red and one sorcery, which is a part of the card I forget a lot. It has Madness of red and X. Badness is a mechanic returning in this set with the text, if you discard this card, discard it into exile. When you do, cast it for its madness cost or put it into your graveyard. And the text of the card is, Avacyn's Judgment deals 2 damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or players. If Avacyn's Judgment was madness cost was paid, it deals X damage divided as you choose among those creatures and or players instead.
I feel like I am already asleep. This card has so much text.
Oh my god, okay, so...
I think I'm going to presume for the time being that if you're listening to this stream, you know what madness is about. So I guess I'm talking to our... we're not dealing with Spalt players here. Because madness is one hell of complicated... actual mechanic and very simple to play with kind of mechanic.
It has a lot of text for saying cast this card when you discard it.
Yeah, for this price. That's all of what they do. Avacyn's Judgment is an extra complexity on top of that. This is a cycle at rare for cards that have one cost and then a different madness cost that gives you a different effect when you cast different madness. And that's like, I'm not fond of that.
Yeah, they both start at like a base cost and then like fluctuate.
Yeah.
More importantly, they fluctuate at speed too. One of the things about madness is it's when you discard it, no matter what time it is.
Right. So there are tons of I don't want to say fast effects, even though that's what we used to call them. There are a lot of instant speed activated abilities. Just anytime you would discard, there it goes. Even like during the cleanup step.
Yep, it actually breaks the cleanup step and allows you to cast the spell.
That's kind of precious. But yeah, as for like the quality of this card itself, it's really good.
The text on the madness is 1 red removed from Rolling Thunder.
Right.
So
that's kind of hot.
Kind of nuts. Card has Tamio on the art.
Yeah, she's saving Jace or Dak. Who knows?
One can never tell. Yeah. I'm going to guess Jace, seeing as other cards may feature this man.
There's like fire that's turning into smoke, and
you see it splits,
busting through a stained glass window. There's kind of a lot to unpack in this art. Man, I didn't realize we were starting off with such a complicated card.
Well, how about we look at a slightly less complicated card then? Question mark?
Yeah, let's go for it.
In Blood Mad Vampire, red and two for a 4/1 vampire berserker. Whenever Blood Mad Vampire deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Madness for one in red.
Yep. Vampires are back. They're doing all of the things that vampires do, which is to say...
all of the things.
Whatever. Just anything at all at any size. Vampires can be big or small. They can have, like, +1 counters. They can kill things. They can fly. They can...
They can have higher power than toughness. They can have higher toughness than power. They can have breakfast at any time of the day. They can... They can do anything they want. This one is doing an old thing, though, which is what most of the vampires in Innistrad did.
I want to say they were a lot better about that kind of stuff in plain old Innistrad. Like, not only did they have the, like, damage a player, get bigger thing going on, the, what is that? The Whirling Dervish thing.
Yeah, the Slits Whirling Dervish.
Whirling Dervish takes me way back. But they had that. They also had, like, a lord that granted that to all of them, so that it was more mechanically, like, intact as a thing. Whereas this one is just sort of like, you know, here, this is the tip of the hat to previous Innistrad for that, while we introduced new Innistrad with the madness thing.
Yeah, it's something they've been doing when they did the Return to Zendikar. They had exactly one Eldrazi with Fake Annihilator as their
right.
tip of the hat, and this is their...
That was the tip of the hat. Oh, man, is this the only one? Don't tell me that's the only one.
Well,
there's the enchantment.
It is not the only card with this text.
Okay. Okay, one last word about Blood Mad Vampire. Is the vampire wiping her face or checking her watch?
Posing like, for the camera?
Time to eat. I'm mad. Mad for blood. Next up,
we've got Burn from Within, red and X for a sorcery. Burn from Within deals X damage to target creature or player. If a creature is dealt damage this way, it loses indestructible until end of turn. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. So disintegrate for a different sort.
Yeah. I don't know. We had disintegrate itself to stop regeneration, and now we have the indestructible removing.
If you've got 12 mana lying around, Darksteel Colossus has nothing on you. It's fine.
I kind of wonder how relevant that text actually is. Like, how many indestructible threats do we have running around? It seems like it's way more common for indestructibility to be a granted, like, temporary thing. It's like, no, I'm tough, you know?
If we're talking standard stuff, the two big ones I can think of are Biggins, Ulamog, and also what is a card we'll see later in the set.
Okay, that's fair, but if you're casting this on Ulamog, like, Ulamog has been cast and you are losing the game. that's kind of the way that I see that. So the text doesn't matter all that much, but Blaze is always fine. And I want to say that even if it didn't lose indestructible, it does get exiled, so that's kind of a thing.
Heck, that might be... That's honestly the more relevant part of this card is the exile clause, though, again, as a Blaze effect, 50% of the time this is die at your opponent.
Right. So, it's rare, it's good. It looks more complicated than it is.
This vampire, I believe. Yeah, I have to say vampire because of the collar. Like, that's my thought.
He's kind of got teeth. Also, vampires don't get hats.
That's true.
That's kind of
important. We have to see. We saw, like, a hood.
I guess Bloodman. I don't even know what Bloodman Vampire is wearing.
I don't know.
It's like it looks like coral, frankly. She's wearing
a
coral.
Merfolk hat?
Yeah. Leftover graveyard Zendikar art. Nah, that would be weird.
Anyway, next in line, we have Dance with Devils for red and three, instant. Put 2/1/1 red devil creature tokens onto the battlefield. They have, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
I am happy to see more things happen with devil tokens. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, cute little trick. This is kind of how... So, back in ye olde Innistrad, there was this thing called Geist Flame that made the entire format toxic to creatures with 1 toughness.
Yep, there's a couple things that still have that effect, but aren't as high power as, you know, around as Geist Flame.
Geist Flame was just this raw, immediate card advantage that you could never get out from under from if you were dealing with, like, lots of one toughness creatures. Whereas Dance with Devils, you eventually get away from. That said, this is, like, this is a decent card. I'm really happy about it. I'm amazed that I didn't build it, you know? Like, this is something that it would... It's just... let's make a card that makes two goblin arsonists.
Yes, that's exactly the body.
Man.
Yeah, it's a fine combat trick. Of note, it doesn't always work the way you want in combat. Like, if your opponent attacks with a 4/4, it actually won't work because they can just deal 4 damage to one of the two.
Yeah, that's if they know how. Yeah. If they're playing on Magic Online, they get like an opportunity to do it correctly with the little up down tickers. And I want to say that no casual player in regular Magic will know that that's a thing.
But now you do.
You do, and then you can get a judge called on you for trying to do that. And if that judge is good enough, you'll get away with it. If that judge is not good, then they'll tell you you can't do that.
they should hopefully be good enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're dealing with lots of like local stores and people who are not actual judges, but they want to run Magic events anyway because they have the little card. Anyway. Next up,
we got more devils. The Devil's Playground. Red and 4 for a sorcery. Put 4 1/1 red devil creature tokens onto the battlefield. They have, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. Summon the devils!
I guess I'm just really happy about that. A couple differences. This is a sorcery rather than an instant. A rare rather than an uncommon. You should probably the rarity from now on, because otherwise cards are going to sound like crazy. Like, Burn from Within at common would be just disgusting.
Avacyn's Judgment with all of that text.
Right. And it's also, like, at the same original rarity as Rolling Thunder, but not. This is Devil's Playground. I want to say you basically already understand it. It's, it's pretty cool.
We had Goblin Rally. We've had cards kind of like this that make goblin tokens, and this one makes upgraded goblins.
Right. There are no goblins in Innistrad, so any role that a goblin would have gets split between vampires and devils.
Yeah, the devils are usually the more, like, mockery sort of things and causing chaos. That's kind of how they split the difference. I like this card. We just have devils overrunning the town.
It's pretty great. It's the kind of thing that makes me happy about Magic the Gathering every now and again. Mm-hmm. Is a card with a bunch of devils on it.
All right.
Next up.
Dissension in the Ranks. Red and 3 for an uncommon instant. Target blocking creature fights another target blocking creature.
Right. So for 5 mana and a scenario that will never ever happen, you can possibly 2-for-1 your opponent.
I think this card is designed for you, the listener, to lose to it in, like, the most audacious of ways, where your opponent attacks with some 1/1s and then blows up your best creatures. And then it'll never work again. Like, it will absolutely just sit in your hand dead. It's gotta happen.
This is some kind of statistical thing. Like, they went over the last however many years of Magic the Gathering events on Magic Online, and we're like, okay, this is how often, like, 2 creatures are blocking, and this is the cost required to make sure that this effect, if cast at that time, is balanced. And I'm just like, I don't know, this could be, like, 2 mana, and it would still never come up.
Like, we've had effects that are, like, target creature fights target creature that, you know, not you control.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about the cost that they're at. Like, 4 right. to 6 range is the cost for...
I want to say, like, the cheapest one is 4 mana, sorcery, and from Lorwyn or whatever.
Rivals Duel.
Yeah.
That one.
And they can't share a creature type.
I believe we have had 6 mana sorcery just target creature fights target creature as well in recent memory.
But that's like, that could actually happen.
Right. You know? Two creatures existing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we have our first sighting of some hats.
Yeah, they're okay hats. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Tamiya doesn't count. That's not a hat.
No, that's not a hat.
Glad that sweet hats have come back, but yeah. You're better off casting actual Dissension, which is to say any card from the Magic the Gathering expansion, Dissension, than ever casting this. I want to say the worst card from Dissension is still better than this.
Tall order. All right. Next up, Dual Shot. A single red mana for a common instant. Dual Shot deals one damage to each of up to two target creatures. We've had a couple cards kind of similar to this in tech, like five cards up.
Right. So straight up fire costs two and got reprinted in Cons of Something of Tarkir, Dragons of Tarkir.
I believe it was Dragon.
Something. I don't remember exactly when it was, but
I'm just murky. It's fine.
So for one extra mana, you can have like the super better version of this.
Right, being able to go to your opponent's head and being able to shock.
Right.
For one, you get the ability to blow out somebody who's decided to play low toughness creatures, like, I don't know, that 4/1 we mentioned up above.
If they're just overloaded on like 3/1s and 4/1s, like you get you blow up two of their Wicker Witches. How's that for like two creatures fighting each other?
They don't even need to be blocking. They just need to exist.
Yeah. I honestly like this a whole lot more than basically everyone else that I've talked to.
Yeah, I mean, I have this rated as I will sideboard it against the person playing the Wicker Witches.
Right. Which is certainly what you should do. But I'm like, oh man, I'm hungry for opportunities to deal one extra damage to creatures. Or like attack with something with first strike and then you deal the other damage here that they're like, oh no.
What's so good.
So well, if I manage to get a bunch of creatures with first strike and then dual shots.
I can tell you this, that's more likely to happen than the Dissension. So you're fine.
Okay.
Also, this costs 1/5.
There we go. Yeah. For 1/5 the cost of that stupid card. The only thing that Dissension in the ranks has on dual shot is the sweet hats.
Yeah,
there's a hat. It looks like it should not be on that person's head, actually. It's like floating above her head a little bit. Well, it's like weird.
She's moving too. Like, this is a motion shot.
Right. You know? How does it stay on? Like, her hair is like zipping like she's going at a million miles an hour, and the hat is just.
This is a demon hunter doing a tumble, you know?
Like, right. You're going to need like a chin strap for that. Maybe there is like a hidden chin strap that I'm not seeing.
I assume on Innistrad they've dealt with this problem for years.
Okay. I guess we are talking about like magic.
We're way behind them in hat technology.
And devils. So it could be a magic hat.
Yeah. Anyway. Next on the list, we have Ember Eye Wolf for red and one, a common wolf creature. A 1/2 with haste. For red and one, you can give Ember Eye Wolf +2/+0 until the end of turn.
I like this card a lot.
So we've got the Haste Wolf, and this Haste Wolf breathes fire.
So you can just painlessly drop it early and attack with your Haste Squire, and then ever after, your opponent can't block this thing for fear of like losing their creature to being traded up with.
Right. Like, this is a... again, they've kind of been doing this every once in a while in recent sets. Lightning Berserker comes immediately to mind. This is the, oh, you don't have any blockers? Just take 7 damage then. Like, here you go.
And you could also hold on to it for later if you have other better things to do and just have this blaze at your opponent that leaves a body behind.
Yeah.
And it has 2 toughness, so it doesn't even die to dual shot.
I'm kind of stunned that this card was 2. Like, this was one of the early cards shown, but like there was a thumb over the mana cost or something like that.
Yeah, the whole like top part was cut off, and we're like, oh, that's like 3 mana for that, right?
Yeah, that's gonna be like 3 because they had Feral Ridge Wolf. No, this card's 2. It's got I like how the wolf is framed in the art here. like the fire and the basically you're seeing just the shadow of it.
Yeah, he's sitting. He's basically sitting on top of the lower third. This kind of comes up to his stomach and eyes there. So
yeah,
it's pretty well framed. I don't think he could actually burn that entire forest down though. That's weird.
Yeah.
Also, he is not like an elemental wolf or a wizard wolf or anything. He's just a wolf.
This is just a wolf.
Wolves can do this. You'd better watch out.
Yeah, Innistrad has some pretty crazy wolves. I guess wolf also matters as a creature type, as we'll soon see. So.
Oh boy. Next up.
All right, Falconwrath Gorger. One red for a 2/1 rare. A vampire berserker. Each vampire creature you own that isn't on the battlefield has madness. The madness cost is equal to its mana cost. I don't even need the text on this card. This is a red 2/1 with like no drawback for one mana.
Yeah, go for it. Like, and he's a rare, which I mean, that's kind of crummy, but maybe they were trying to make like a vampire tribal deck in standard or some nonsense.
That'd be my guess. And In the past, the tribal decks that have existed do need powerful one drops to be able to do something on one, and this is a powerful one drop. Like, that ability, even without the ability, it's great, and the ability actually is, you know, it's pretty dang good. Like, you can give madness to cards that shouldn't have it.
Vampire cards that shouldn't have it. Yeah, too bad that. We don't have any changeling spells around. That would be sweet.
Oh, man. It even says creature card to get around tribal.
Oh, man.
I can't nameless inversion off of this card. It's sad.
My madness inversion.
Ah,
yeah.
Here's the mad crib swap. Yeah. But you can still discard Chameleon Colossus, so it's all right.
All right. So, yeah, that's basically... Well, okay, one last word about Falconwrath Gorger. Apparently the worst thing that happens to you when you are no longer human is that you lose your hat. Like, there's this whole thing in Innistrad, like the original Innistrad, where the horrible things happen to people and they turn into something else. They turn into wolves, they turn into vampires, turn into zombies, turn into ghosts.
And you don't have a hat.
Yeah. If you turn into a vampire, so help you, you will lose your hat. And that's like losing your mind, I guess.
I guess hats are like really both symbolic and incredibly important. Yeah. Anyway.
Next up.
Moving on, we have Fiery Temper, a reprint, twice over. This is a red one instant at common. Fiery Temper deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Madness for a single red.
I'm astonished to see this at common.
I am super happy to see this at common.
It's incredible.
Like, this card is... So I want to say every single time this card has like been printed, it's been pretty dang stellar in where it is, and this is going to be no different. Like, it's bolt on it if you discard it, and the trick is you usually get an upside when you discard a card.
Right, like you're discarding a card to draw a card, you're discarding a card because you're... opponent cast a discard 2 at you or something, which manifest that like Mind Rot cannot exist in the coming format. That's just, it will not.
No, I Mind Rot you, okay? Here's my 4/1 and take some damage. Like, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So this card is very good. Pick it highly if you're doing limited or draft, I guess. And
yeah, and heck, this is something I could definitely see in Constructed.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so, yeah, A+. All right, next on the list, we have Flameblade Angel, a red and 4 angel. That's a 4/4 rare. Flying, whenever a source an opponent controls deals damage to you or a permanent you control, you may have Flameblade Angel deal 1 damage to that source's controller. So, 4/4 flyer with like a kind of like a payback mechanic, like a retribution style.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a shame that you can't like redirect that damage to useful targets.
Yeah,
but, honestly, this card serves a much more important purpose, which is to frame the entire set. Like, the entire story of the set is that Avacyn has lost her mind and started killing humans and recruited a bunch of her buds to do the work as well.
Yep.
So you can see the, like, misshapen Avacyn logo both on the shield and sword, and, like, blood all on the wingtips and fire from beneath. So this is just, this is what's going on. This card tells you the story of the set. And that's all you need to know.
they have taken to do that a little better in recent years, with having cards try to give you a better idea of what's actually going on in the set. That said, outside of the story purposes, this card is something that, like, you play on a, you know, kind of like a closed board, you know, something like a stalemate, and all of a sudden your opponent just kind of can't attack in at all, because, you know, anytime they damage a permanent you control, it's like, okay, you attack in, block, 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 I take no damage, and you take three. Yeah, it's just like, okay. I like this card for a lot of reasons. The story reasons you said, and the limited reasons. This is a pretty dang good card.
Yeah, pretty strong.
Yeah. All right. Next on the list, Geist Blast. Red and two for an uncommon instant. Geist Blast deals two damage to target creature or player. Blue and two, exile Geist Blast from your graveyard. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy.
I mean, this is kind of cute. This is a way to have flashback in your set without literally printing the word flashback on any card.
Right, and it's...
We get, like, a different effect than the spell itself. It's just, you know...
Right, you have a self fork.
Yeah, which Red has gotten a couple times. Like, they had it in Dark Ascension for sure.
Yeah,
so we had that one. Increasing Vengeance.
Vengeance.
Yeah. So, like, this on a red card isn't all that bad, but you're paying blue for it anyway, and blue gets to do that.
On the front, you get a incredibly expensive shock, which if we're playing, like, a limited format, is still... God, how bad does a shock need to be before I won't play? I want to say, like, four mana is where I won't play a shock.
Even still, like, directable damage is really good.
Well, this has other text.
Moreover, it also has a man firing a ghost through a baby bottle. That ghost is not happy about it either.
Yeah, that cannon is gigantic.
It's like, oh no, I hate to be used in this manner. Don't flavor blast me.
I am damn unsatisfied.
This guy really wants whatever he's looking at to be blueberry flavored.
Absolutely.
It's like, must make blueberry flavored.
Yeah, we have, like, very limited amounts of, like, this style in Estrad, but we do have, like, the Ghostbusters sort of thing going on.
To be honest, I can't see the, like, copy target instant part really coming up that much. It does sit in your grave and wait for you to have an opportunity to do it, so that's kind of neat, but still.
I think it could come up. I mean, just if you get to the point where it's like, okay, it's kind of late in the game and I get top deck, like, Fiery Temper, all right, double it. Or even I top deck, I don't know, some sort of draw spell, and I'm like, all right, I want to...
Dual Shot.
Yeah.
Dual Shock Ice Blast, yeah. Hit him for two.
How often is it going to happen where you dissension in the ranks to kill every blocking creature? Uh-huh.
That will actually never happen.
Factually.
I want to say that cannot happen.
All right.
Someone show me a video. Prove me wrong.
All right.
Geist Blast.
Geist Blast. Dissension of the ranks. I mean, I have to draft this now. This is stupid.
Oh, boy. Next up.
All right. Next up, Gibbering Fiend. A red and one for a 2/1 devil. This is an uncommon. When Gibbering Fiend enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to each opponent. Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, Gibbering Fiend deals one damage to that player.
Okay, so Delirium is a new mechanic in this set. It's an ability word, meaning it can go on triggered abilities, activated abilities, static abilities, whatever.
Yeah, anywhere.
And all it cares about is having four or more card types among cards in your graveyard. So it doesn't care how many cards period you have, just the types.
Right. So you and a card can count towards multiple types if you have an artifact creature that is both a creature and an artifact. So you only need two other card types in your yard. It's important to note that it's your graveyard, and it's important to note that, yeah, like you said, this ability can do sort
right.
of anything.
So it can modify a spell that you're casting. It can make a triggered ability happen that otherwise wouldn't. It can, like, enter the battlefield and do a thing. It's all over the place.
Yeah, this one specifically, this is part of an uncommon cycle that are creatures that come into play and do a thing, and then if you have Delirium, they continue to do that thing, is the setup for it.
Right. As for Gibbering Fiend himself, I am happy about Pikers. As much as I, like, caution against the format being, like, toxic to one toughness things, which it kind of is, it doesn't matter. I'll play Pikers anyway. Well, make him have this stupid card.
Well, this is like Piker that, okay, if you get it late game and you have that Delirium on, even if it can't attack, it can still annoy your opponent.
Yeah, he can heckle them with a butter knife, apparently. Yeah. That looks like what he's got.
A small butter knife, all right. Devils.
I love them. I cannot get enough of the devils of Innistrad or any other place.
They are pretty great. All right. Next up, Gold Knight Castigator, red and 2 for a 4/9 angel at Mythic Rare. Flying, haste. If a source would deal damage to you, it instead deals double that damage to you instead. If a source would deal damage to Gold Knight Castigator, it deals double that damage to Gold Knight Castigator instead.
Oh, man. This makes me miss Inquisitor's Flail. Oh, that card ruled.
Oh, this is... So, it's a 4/9, but it's more effectively a 4/5.
Yeah. Most of the time. I guess it gets around, like, Death Ray. Death Wind. That's what it's called.
Yeah. The Death Ray shows up. Yeah. So, you get a under-costed haste flyer with this drawback of you've given all of your opponent's creatures the Inquisitor's Flail. You know, Furnace of Wrath.
Yeah. So, do be cautious when you're using this, and don't play more than one of these.
Oh, boy.
Because both of the replacement effects would apply, so it would double-double.
Double-double.
Which gets out of hand really fast. What I actually want to see out of this set is something that swaps power and toughness. Like a...
to make this a 9/4?
Yeah. That would...
Yeah.
That would give me a reason to have toughness. What is that card called? The one that people sometimes side in to deal with...
Inside Out or Twisted...
Yeah, Twisted
Image?
Twisted Image or Twisted Reflection, something like that.
Yeah.
I know there's one that specifically is like one blue and you draw a card.
That's the Twisted one. That's the... Right. It was from Scar's block.
Right.
Yeah.
Crap, now I can't remember the name of the creature. You know, the 0/4 that, like, targets to it.
Spellskite.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's an important creature. I need to remember that creature.
But yeah, anyway, if you're playing with this card, do mind the drawback. It is real.
Yeah.
I've encountered this, and if you don't mind the drawback, you will die to it. It's your life totals have while it's in play, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. And a lot of the time, you won't care. This is absolutely a powerful and pretty good card. So
cards with drawbacks are still good. That you just have to be mindful and play around them. Anyway, next, Harness the Storm, a red and 2 enchantment at rare. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand, you may cast target card with the same name as that spell from your graveyard. You still pay the costs.
I want to say this is not playable.
Yeah, so you need to, like, what? This is something where it's like you had a draft deck where you ended up with a 6 Fiery Temper? I don't know.
Right. I can't see a draft deck ever playing this. Like, if there was some card that, for whatever reason, went super late, could be really good if you could cast it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
And then in, like, constructed, like, It says right in the name what they want this card to do. With the
yeah, that's not going to happen either.
No, we have better we have better 2-mana enchantments.
So there's that. God, there's such better enchantments.
Yeah.
There's like Pyromancer's whatever, and Ascension, yeah. yeah, Pyromancer's Ascension. And oh, what's the flashback one?
Are you just talking about the Past in Flames?
Past in Flames, straight up.
Yeah, just Past in Flames. Like, what if you just cast all your spells from the grave? Because you still have to pay the mana cost. That's probably the biggest killer on this. Is like, if it were free, that'd be a different set of like thinking about it. Like, if you could just play this card, and it's like, oh, by the way, you just get a free buyback on all
right.
Your
Or if like you said, we had a spell with buyback, you know, yeah, like so you could buy it back from the grave. Wah! But nah, this card is unplayable junk. It will never cast any spell. Get out of here.
Nah. Anyway, next up, we got a better spell at the same mana cost. Howlpack Wolf for red and two. It's a 3/3 wolf at common. Howlpack Wolf can't block unless you control another wolf or werewolf.
Oh, frequently, you don't care. Yeah. So yeah, this is the wolf tribal kind of thing that we were talking about before. It does exist, and it's real. Yeah. Except, you also get like attacking trained Armadon.
I'd take that. There's this neat card called back in the past called Gloom Widow that I played all the freaking time, and it had like can only block flyers, and that really just meant you attack with this card. You know, like. It's like, a 3/3 for three. Why would it be?
Can it attack when flyers exist or not? Yeah. Okay. Let's attack with our Howlpack Wolf.
Yeah, Howlpack Wolf can attack, and that's all you really want this card for. That's fine.
The drawback to Howlpack Wolf has nothing to do with the text on him or his stats or anything. The drawback to Howlpack Wolf is that there are a lot of guys who get kind of big, like 3/4s and 4/4s.
Right.
He has a lot of green enemies. It's weird to say.
Even outside of that, we're going to be seeing a lot of 3 power is kind of the baseline for decent creatures at this mana cost. So a lot of the time, you're just going to be trading straight.
Right, you attack into their 3/2 that they made or whatever.
Yeah, still solid 3/3.
Yep.
Anyway, next up we have the Hulking Devil. Red and 3 for a 5/2 devil at common.
That's it. It's Cobblebrute.
Cobblebrute.
They keep printing Cobblebrute.
How many times do you need to print Cobblebrute?
Like a million. Oh my god. It's like we talk about 12 post or whatever. 16 post. We can now have like 40 brute.
Good old 20 mountain, 40 brute. Just gets there. All you do is hit 4 times.
At some point, they decided that a 4-mana 5/2 was this perfect creature in red, and I just don't understand it. Like this. No, that wouldn't even be a good Hearthstone card because we have that. It's called Ice Rager.
Yeah, and it's a 3, and it's still.
Still kind of boom-boom.
It's kind of okay.
Yeah, like Hulking Devil can't attack past Pikers, and that makes him garbage.
Yeah, like the deck that it works in is what we've seen before, a deck where it would work the Jeskai way sort of thing, where it's like all you need is one creature, get everybody else out
of
the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about this guy as being like a Flame Palm Efreet, Bloodfire expert. Yeah, if you think about this guy as a Bloodfire expert who just constantly has one prowess on or something, then yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know, man. I think we would end up running into any kill spell. Like
I was gonna say,
I want to say he dies to every single kill spell in the entire.
Doesn't die to the dual shot.
Unless they double it. With their harness, the storm.
Or they double it with the shock that they cast to kill it in the first place. Anyway, this is a Cobblebrute, kind of large.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a creature. Like he's not actually unplayable.
That's kind of the secret of Cobblebrute, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
as a 23rd card, you sometimes have to.
Right. It can attack for damage and kill your opponent, which is what some junk cards cannot do. So, yeah.
Anyway. Cobble Brute, Hulking Devils. Next up, Incorrigible Youths. Red and 3 for a 4/3 vampire at uncommon. Haste and Madness for red and 2.
I've never seen this actually madnessed out, but that seems like it would be the biggest blowout.
I've gotten to ridiculous situations where you play your Madness outlet on turn 2, and then on turn 3 it's like, oh, I discard this, it's in play. Like, there's an old Madness card called Arrogant Worm that this compares pretty favorably to, which was a 4/4 with trample, Reckless Worm being the same thing shifted. Card's powerful, is I guess what I'm saying. You know, four power haste,
it's pretty exciting. And since it's a vampire, the Falconwrath Gorger could give it a madness cost equal to it. Wait a minute.
Yep.
Anyway.
You could madness it for 5 if you needed to do that. I guess it's also this person's just kind of getting eaten up.
Yeah. Like, how many of the youths are actually... How many vampires does it take to make 1/4/3? Jeez.
I'm counting, what, 9 on this art? 10? No, there's 10.
Yeah. There's 10 of us make a 4/3.
I think
10 little girls would be a 5/5. Like...
Vampires, like you said, without the hat, bad things have happened. This card's good. it's really all I've got on it is it's pretty dang good. Anyway, next up, Inner Struggle, red and 3 for a instant at uncommon. Target creature deals damage to itself equal to its power. This also was a card, close to a card, in Dark Ascension. Rack with Madness was this card, but sorcery speed at the exact same mana cost.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that. Seems okay. I mean, 4 mana destroy most any creature.
Yeah. 4 mana... most creatures, like, right. You're not going to be able to kill...
You can't kill dogs, because a 3/5 is a perfect creature and does not die to anything.
Yep. Dogs are untouchable, but most things, anything with Death Touch dies to itself. Anything with lifelink gains life off of killing itself.
Wow, that would be a scenario. It's like, but secretly I don't die, because... My guy is gonna inner struggle himself.
That would be really funky if you had to be in a setup in a way for that to happen.
You know, the thing about spells is that they're usually some kind of action word or verb. You know, like what do we have? Geist blast. You know, blast.
Blast. Dual shot.
Yeah, and then we have things like fiery temper. That's a noun. So that's weird. Or
I struggle your
struggle your guy. Yeah, I guess that's what you'll have to say.
Yeah.
I really wish that they could have just said like target creature fights itself, but
the problem with that verbiage is that the text target creature fights itself would make it deal damage to itself equal to twice its power.
Yeah. That would be kind of good.
Which, that would kill dogs. That would, like...
Which means it would kill anything.
Right, like, the only thing it couldn't kill would be, like, 1/4s or, you know, like, walls, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is a bit sad that they can't use that exact verbiage because of that. Like, but...
But, it's a good spell.
Still a good spell. Anyway, next up, Insolent Neonate. A single red for a 1/1 vampire at common. Menace, which means it cannot be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. And it has discard a card, sacrifice Insolent Neonate, draw a card.
This guy is important. He hits like every piece of synergy possible at this cost at size. Like if you somehow get like a team pump effect, then his menace just turns completely on. If you need a speed bump, then he blocks for you.
If you need to, if your hand is looking like, you know, hot garbage, you can discard discard a land to filter, or more importantly, is more than likely discard a card with madness.
Right. Or you're discarding a card and sacrificing him to put two different card types in your yard that you're missing, so that like he turns on delirium. So, man.
Right. And with on a menace on a 1/1. Let me tell you, this is dealing a point or two of damage. Like, there's no stopping that. Like, if you play this on turn one, it's hitting. You know, they're not immediately going to create two creatures on their one. So yeah, this is a very key role player and does a lot of important things for one red. Like, I like it a lot.
Pretty impressive. I think this is the one card in the entire set that has frankly impressed me.
Hmm.
Although there, yeah. I mean, we have a long way to go, so.
I know.
We will see.
I like that he's just kind of like sitting on the table while Dracula's looking in the back like, dude, you know, like, come on.
Yeah. A lot of reason to like insolent Neonate.
Yeah. Good creature. Anyway, next up, we have another reprint, Lightning Axe. A single red for an uncommon instant. As an additional cost to cast Lightning Axe, discard a card or pay 5. Lightning Axe deals 5 damage to target creature.
So, about paying 3 mana for your shock.
Yeah.
I admit Lightning Axe cannot go to the dome, but man.
I'm incredibly happy to see this one back because I mentioned that Fiery Temper is a reprint twice. The first time it was reprinted, Lightning Axe was also in that same set. And guess what blows the hell out of your opponent in combat when you just go, Lightning Axe, 5 to your best creature. Oh, by the way, Fiery Temper, kill your other creature. And
yeah, for 2 mana.
For 2 mana.
It's nuts. I do like the what is it called? Precedent that this card establishes with its artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, so when you get turned into a vampire, you lose the hat.
Yep.
Hat's gone. You've lost your mind, so you've lost your hat. Okay. But if you're a ghost, you get a ghost hat.
Yes. This ghost is having a really good day, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
The power of lightning. Like,
he's like, whoop-bam! Well, maybe that just serves to show you that the clothes make the man, or ghost in this case. Well,
good card.
Moving on.
We have Mad Prophet.
Yeah, we do.
Red and 3 for a 2/2 human shaman at uncommon. Haste, tap, discard a card, draw a card.
So, in between the printing of, wow, I can't remember any set names. Dark Ascension and Avacyn Restored.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that, hey, wait a minute. Red shouldn't get actual looting. That's stupid. It should get the reverse of that, which is almost always just weaker, because red is bad and deserves bad things.
Yeah, we had Faithless Looting in Dark Ascension, which was good. Mm-hmm. And then in the one looter we had in Avacyn Restored was some 2-mana Planeswalker dolt who nobody cares about, who had a different sort of looting. And then it moved to this directly after.
Yep. I thought this guy was printed in Avacyn Restored. Avacyn? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This was
straight up.
Restored. Yep, this was in
He had, like, worse art, because this art is freaking amazing. This guy, he's pulling a goose out of another person. Like, he's got important news for you, and it is printed on the goose in your body. Let me help.
This follows your theory, too. Like, this person is mad they do not have their hat.
He doesn't! He has no hat, so he's gone mad.
Again, this is a reprint from Avacyn. This is a lot better here.
Oh yeah, whew. Like a ton better.
You know, having to tool, having to discard, then draw. is not very good. But when you discard a spell that you can cast and then draw a card for the cost of getting your spell for cheaper, like everything is great about that, you know. This is incredibly solid in the format.
Another important role player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing the role of beating you upside the head with a bell, I guess.
I guess so. Anyway, next up, Magmatic Chasm. Red and one for a sorcery. Creatures without flying can't block this turn.
Where have I heard of this before?
It's almost as though we've seen this card exactly multiple times in the past. In the recent past, even.
Yeah, why can't they just call it Falter?
I don't know. This is a reprint from Dragons where they called it Magmatic Chasm. I don't know why it's not just Falter. Anyway, it is just Falter.
At any rate, this is not making it outside of a limited format. And in limited, it might be exactly what you want.
Right. There are going to be a lot of times where the board is gummed up, nobody's able to do anything, and somebody's waiting for a breaker. This is that breaker. This is the word that you're waiting for.
I feel like there aren't even that many creatures with flying in the set.
They're hard to find. I mean, obviously we're in red right now, so we've only seen rares with flying. But I think we'll continue to see, like, flying isn't as common as it usually is.
Right. Now that's something that I changed in my set, but red rare flying only. Anyway,
next up, Malevolent Whispers, red and three for a sorcery at uncommon. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature. It gets +2/+0 and gains haste until end of turn. Madness for red and three.
So yeah, this can essentially like draw you a card if you were going to discard anyway. That's the only thing the madness cost is doing.
Yeah, it's the same cost.
I guess technically you could use that to rip a creature out of combat.
That's the real power of this one is, okay, so we have a threaten. We've actually seen this exact threaten before in this was in Zendikar block.
Rise of the Eldrazi, I think.
Yeah.
I remember like casting Kozilek and then
whoops.
I'd be like, oh man.
The name eludes me at the moment, but this was just directly in Rise. But the thing is about it, the madness cost lets you instant speed it, and all of a sudden, oh, you attacked with your two largest creatures. I'll steal one of them, block the other. And that's a hell of a lot more likely to happen than any sort of dissension. This is the real dissension in the ranks. The devil on the shoulder. God, what the heck was the name of that card?
I'm looking it up right now. You can go on. Traitorous Instinct.
Traitorous Instinct, that's what it was called. Okay. Yeah, it was the exact same cost and text as this, except for with no madness. And also not as many literal devils sitting on the
shoulder
of this extremely, like, happy, like, the grin on this person's face.
He likes what he's hearing.
Yeah, like, hey, why don't you come over here? It'll be fun. Yeah, this is a solid threaten. It's a pretty versatile one. If you have something like the Mad Prophet or the Insolent Neonate to instant speed it, it turns from threaten to a blowout. So, good card. Anyway.
Okay.
Next up, Pyre Hound. Red and three for a 2/3 elemental hound at common. Trample. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Pyre Hound.
So, for 4 mana, I can have a thing that is worse than every 3 mana 3/2 in the entire format. And also has trample, though.
Has trample. Like, once you've cast one instant or sorcery with this card in play, it becomes Vestige of Emrakul, which was a card from the previous block. And then it, you know, starts getting bigger and bigger from there. And, you know, one of those, like, threatens to grow out of control.
I guess this is another... Man, would I rather have this or Cobblebrute in the deck where I have exactly one creature, you know?
I honestly, I think in the deck where you have exactly one creature, this one's probably going to be a bit better for you, because the implication is that all of your other cards are removal ways to get your creature in, like, that would be pumping this, and then the toughness grows out of control.
Yeah. Man, if we could just back it up with, like, white spells that can stop it from dying.
Right.
That'd be okay.
Heck, or even we back it up with attack with it, they block, and it's like, okay, burn this creature out of the way, trample.
Yeah, so what's the deal with having this be a hound, but all the other red dogs are wolf?
I guess this is a different, like, I guess on the art, like, on the art of this, this thing's huge. Like, wow, yeah. That's a really big 2/3.
That's because it's an elemental, you know?
Right, right.
And it's not like we can't have an elemental wolf.
I was going to say, we don't have elemental wolves, but...
Actually, we do.
So far in this, okay, fine. We do have elemental wolves.
Point is, you could just as easily, like, scratch the word hound off of the name and name it wolf, and then elemental wolf, and that would be no problem.
I have to wonder what that difference is. Is that the same as, like, the difference between, what was it, like, what made a warrior in cons?
Oh, my God.
God, like, or what made an ally in Zen, like, you know.
Yeah, there is no rule.
Maybe there's no rules.
There's no rules. It's a hound.
There's no rules. All right, next up. Ravenous Bloodseeker. Red and one for a 1/3 Vampire Berserker at Uncommon. Discard a card. Ravenous Bloodseeker gets +2/-2 until end of turn.
Just fine on its own, and then occasionally could, you know, maybe get some extra toughness.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you can do this more than once and be super happy. And also, you know, it looks like, you know, why would I ever want to discard that many cards? But there's all this madness all over the place, so...
Right. I spoke earlier on the Incorrigible Youths about having, I don't know, play some sort of madness outlet, a way to discard cards on turn two so that you can play it on turn three for its madness cost. This is one of them. This is one of them that, you know, freely discard a card at no cost. And some upside. This person's hanging on a rock. Like, what's the deal here? Is it like the power of the rock?
Yeah, I don't... The rock has some, like, glowing magic on top of it, too.
Yeah, they put a Photoshop effect on the rock, and then...
You know, I think that this guy was supposed to be in Zendikar, actually.
Well, the art specifically... We haven't seen any of the cards yet. At least the art, I can say, is a this set thing. It's not Graveyard, because that art has a Cryptolith on it, which is a thing specifically in this set.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's Cryptolith.
Yeah. Cryptolith.
It is a rock, but also a mystery.
Yeah. Seek the mystery of the Cryptolith. Yeah, but like you said, if you get this, like, plus some toughness, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're hitting for much more than you should. It's a good card. Again, kind of a role player that does beatdown. So, next up, Reduced to Ashes. Red and four for sorcery at common. Reduced to Ashes deals 5 damage to target creature. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead.
That's decent. There used to be this habit of wizards of printing, like, a 5-mana sorcery in black that says the text, destroy target creature on it, and then, like, had some minor upside. And I guess that, like, red has started to do that now, because in most cases, 5 damage is going to be destroy target creature.
Right, and this is something we have been seeing repeatedly. Like, Turn to Slag is the one that repeatedly comes to mind, but, like, we keep seeing it over and over again. It's expensive, and it, just like the black one, it's expensive, but it gets the job done. You put the skeleton on the pyre, and that's it. Well, not much else to say about it.
Yeah, like, you don't want a ton of these. It'll never make it out of limited, and has a cool skeleton on it.
Yep. I always like that the eyes make it look like a very sad skeleton to me. Anyway. Rush of Adrenaline is our next card. A single red for an instant at common. Target creature gets +2/+1 and gains trample until end of turn. and it's got the flying leaping kick on it.
Features a flying kick. So Kung Fu is back.
Yeah.
Got prowess in this set, and we have Rush of Adrenaline, which is toughness pump in red. It's pretty rare, even though it's only plus one. That's something.
It's incredibly cheap, but you get to teach Kung Fu to a creature, and they do a leaping kick. It's maybe not the best of tricks. Like, again, one toughness isn't always enough to save your creature, but again, one cost.
It can do a lot of work, especially with the, I guess we haven't seen any yet, but there are prowess creatures in the set.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if you want to see a prowess creature.
Oh.
Next up, we have Sanguinary Mage. Red and one for a 1/3 vampire wizard at common with prowess.
Jeskai Student's back.
Jeskai Student. You know what vampires get to do? Anything. Vampires get to learn Kung Fu, apparently. This lady knows Kung Fu.
She's just maybe the vampire thing is that you still get to learn a job. And wizards all know Kung Fu. Wait! No. She's like the battle wizard vampire. that's also Kung Fu.
Does she have like a chicken leg? Is that...
Yeah. I like that she's wielding a blazing torch in the art, even though that would make her like not able to block herself.
Yeah. That's very true. The like smoke coming off it is like this ribbon of... whatever red
of
effect.
CGI and yeah. effect post-processing.
I love Jeskai Student and I love Sanguinary Mage for the same reasons that I love Jeskai Student.
God. This art is really tragic. It's got like the cleavage window and a red lens flare on it. It's the best phoned in thing.
Yeah.
I am proving that she is a wizard because she has a tiny hood.
She has a hood and this magical CGI effect. See, she's a wizard.
Totally a wizard.
And she's a vampire because you can see her fangs.
Mm-hmm. Blood and, yeah.
But yeah, prowess is back. Prowess is one of the mechanics from cons that they've decided to just keep in the game forever. So they will use it sparingly, but they will continue to use it. And so we'll get to continue to see Jeskai Student return. And I'm completely happy in that world.
That's pretty cool. Moving on.
Next up, Scourge Wolf. Red for a 2/2 wolf horror at rare. First strike, Delirium. Scourge Wolf has double strike as long as there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard.
And that's it.
Yeah.
First strike becomes double strike, which sounds pretty decent, frankly. This was probably a standard bait kind of card.
This is a powerful card. If you ignore the delirium on it, like a 2/2 first striker for two is going to do good work. And then the double strike on it makes it excellent.
Oh, to have Blood Knight back.
Yeah, Blood Knight's the card I continue to think of. More recently, if we're looking at red for a 2/2 with first strike, Ash Zealot is always going to be the high watermark. Nothing's going to, you know, match Ash Zealot
as
far as that goes. But this wolf is pretty good. If we're looking at limited, like double red on turn two is going to be a bit of a commitment, but it's a strong card.
And red's pretty deep, frankly, so I think you could more easily make a mono red deck than you can like a different mono color.
We've like out of the cards we've seen, there's only been like a couple, like there's a couple rares that weren't like, okay, you know, like Gather the Storm, Harness the Storm or whatever, but like it, a lot of the cards are just like good.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Even this one maybe.
Next up, we have Senseless Rage, red and one for an enchantment aura at common. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2. Madness for red and one.
So, there are a couple of things that make this way, way better than Giant Strength.
Yeah.
Giant Strength being a generic version of this, you know, two red mana for +2/+2 on your creature. Madness gives you the slight card advantage kind of thing of discarding into casting it. And also, because it's Madness, subtly, instantly,
Instantly, you say.
Yeah.
That's kind of where this card is going to play its trick, is like an aura, you know, the disadvantage of an aura is always going to be if the creature gets answered, you've lost two cards. But if you get to use this as a combat trick by discarding it at instant speed to something to, you know, win a combat, you've already gotten your card out of, you know, you've already gotten plus one card out of it.
So you're making like a little giant growth that sticks around. That sounds pretty good.
It's not the greatest of cards. Like there's you do need to have some sort of enabler to do the instant speed on it, and because if you're doing it sorcery, you'd want to have, you know, some sort of way to get an advantage out of it, either discarding it to something else. But it does its job pretty well.
I think it gets snapped up. Like, I haven't seen many copies of this going around in the couple of drafts that I've watched.
Yeah, I haven't seen this card very often, to be entirely honest.
It's one of those uncommon commons.
Yeah, uncommon.
Who the hell knows how it happens?
Somebody picks five of them and then disappears into the wind.
Then has no madness outlets. All right, end of turn. Discard down to seven.
+2/+2, yes. Anyway, next up, Sin Prodder. Red and two for a 3/2 devil at rare. Menace. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard. If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Otherwise, put that card into your hand.
I guess you're going to be discarding lands for a while.
Well, that's never really a downside, really.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the time.
Yeah, I guess not. So, this card kind of rules.
Yeah.
Like, 2 mana 3/2. Holy crap. Yeah, no, 3 mana 3/2 with Menace is already kind of above the curve because, what was it called? Like, Vyashino two-headed something. Anyway, it was like a 4 mana 3/2 with Menace, effectively.
We have seen 3 mana 3/2 with Menace in Magic Origins. Was that common?
Oh, okay.
So, like, we have seen at least that body.
Yeah, maybe that's not that bad. But then he draws you cards.
Right. Like, so a lot of the times, this is a style of mechanic usually referred to as, like, a punisher mechanic, where you give your opponent a choice of A or B, and the idea is, like, both of them are supposed to be bad, and they have to pick the one that's less bad for them. A lot of those cards didn't see play because rather than it being bad choice and bad choice, it was, like, bad choice and null choice.
Yeah.
This one, it is both. Like, either they give you a card or they take damage and you still get to draw your normal card on the turn. This card just got to deal free damage. And if it is a land, you've successfully not drawn that land, you know? Which...
Yeah, or grown your Countryside Crusher.
Ooh. I mean, this is also a world with Delirium, so cards in your graveyard matter as well.
What a powerful little guy. Like, he'll attack, and then maybe you make him bigger, and he's harder to block. And then he keeps drawing you cards.
This is a stellar card. There are a lot of good devils, you know?
Like, yeah, no kidding. Moreover, yo, what is the deal with the set? Like, angels are attacking us because of sin or whatever. Have they not seen... Look... Devils are real. They're here in real life. They're not just like spirit form compelling us to sin or whatever. He's here. He's like burning down your house.
Did you see the guy on Malevolent Whispers? He actually had a devil on his shoulder. Like, that wasn't metaphorical. Like, the literal devil on your shoulder. Like, I guess the angels turned and then nothing else changed. Everything else was like, yep, devils are still around.
Man, bad time to be a human on Innistrad, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, next up, Spiteful Motives. Red and three for an enchantment aura at uncommon. Flash, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +3/+0 and has first strike.
Neat combat trick. I wouldn't want to overload on this because otherwise you're going to end up with like not enough creatures in your thing.
Yeah, this is similar to a lot of the times in the set they'll have like the X mana red combat tricks that gives +X power and first strike.
Mm-hmm.
that's a common thing.
Yeah, and there are enough menace creatures kicking around that you might be able to, like, knock out multiple creatures with this spell.
Turn three, you play your Sin Prodder, and then turn
right.
four.
Oh my god. Frankly, the only thing that I don't like about the card is how it is this bizarre mishmash of name, mechanic, and art, and flavor text that's like...
When I first saw the card, I'm like, okay, what, like, the art, what is this art supposed to be? Maybe the flavor text will enlighten me. No, it actually confuses me more.
Right, like, okay, just look at the illustration for a second, and you'd look at that and be like, that's totally a creature, right?
Yeah.
That's some kind of creature, you know, he's turning, maybe he's turning to the moon because he's a werewolf, because there are werewolves in this set that we'll get to much, much later. Or, I don't know, I would not have pegged this as a spell.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he has any kind of aura either. Also, why does spite give you first strike?
Also, like, I guess if you're spiteful, you lose your hat too. Like, is that...
Yeah, maybe he has it tucked away somewhere. I mean, yeah. He's indoors.
You don't wear your hat indoors.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's kind of a thing.
This is just a... Like you said, a mishmash is a good word for it. The card itself is just fine. It's much like the Senseless Rage we talked about. You use it as a combat trick, and then it sticks on the table. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what's going on there.
Plenty of First Strike going around, at least.
Speaking of First Strike.
Hey.
We have Stenzia. Stenzia? Stenzia.
Stenzia.
Stenzia. Stenzia Masquerade. Red and two for an enchantment at Uncommon. Attacking creatures you control have first strike. Whenever a vampire you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Madness for red and two.
So, I wouldn't want to have more than one of these in a limited deck, I don't think. But it's important to note that any attacking creature gets the first strike. It's
right.
Just the vampires who get the permanent pump.
This card does a lot more. Like, on the surface, you know, it's like, okay, I have this 3-mana enchantment that hands off some... It doesn't have, like, a super immediate effect, but that first line is almost enough. Like, attacking creatures you control at first strike, you know, we talked about Cobblebrute being like, this trades with a piker. That isn't great. Wait a minute.
Hey, what if my Howl Pack Wolf could just attack freely into basically anything? What if you could no longer block Ravenous Bloodseeker because you could flip into power and take you completely out?
And then it grows.
And then so yeah, that's what Stenzia Masquerade is all about. And, yeah.
Also, the madness on here lets you do a similar thing to what we talked about with Senseless Rage, where you attack, they block, in comes the Masquerade, and they're...
Man, the curve of Ravenous Bloodseeker to this is kind of incredible.
Yeah.
It's like two Bloodseeker, attack, they block it with their, like, horned turtle or whatever. Well, maybe not horned turtle.
They block it with a bear. They block it with a grizzly bear, and it's like, oh.
Or maybe they have two wolves, and they block it with their
three. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they don't block it.
Yeah.
And then they take three, and it gets larger.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's an exciting card. I have a lot of respect for it. Anyway, next up, Structural Distortion. Red and three for a sorcery at common. Exile target artifact or land. Structural Distortion deals 2 damage to that permanent's controller.
Right.
Yeah, this is a... They continue to print cards like this that are like, here's your land destruction at 4. And they still don't get played. This one has a lot of advantages over, like, Demolish, which is the sort of, like, common version of this. In that it exiles, so you don't, like... Because destroying a land is going to be a drawback in this format.
I know, the delirium and all that. I honestly think the only reason that this card exists at all is so that it can have flavor text, and that flavor text can be Nahiri saying that she's going to wreck Soren's house.
This is one of the cards that... is it's like a card that exists so that they can tell the story they want to tell.
Yeah, unfortunately it's not doing anything else, which makes it kind of bobo.
Right, like we just get to see Nahiri blowing up Soren's house.
Oh man, I only now realized that the logo for the set is Avacyn's logo turned upside down. What if we turned it this way? Isn't that more sinister?
we gave it spikes. Slightly changed.
Oh mercy.
Anyway, this is a card that you're not like using. It's fine.
Yeah.
Alright, moving on. This is a card we recognize. Tormenting Voice. Red and one. Sorcery at common. As an additional cost to cast Tormenting Voice, discard a card. Draw two cards.
I want to say every time we see Tormenting Voice get printed, it gets better.
Agreed.
Which is bizarre to say, but somehow still true. Like, man.
The card never changes in text, but it changes in context.
It's kind of like how Harrow goes. It's like Harrow gets more powerful every time it gets printed. Tormenting Voice works the same way.
Yeah. But we saw this recently in cons with Prowess, which is where it was, you know, pretty good. And here, you get to do some rude things because discarding cards, sometimes you're not actually just discarding a land, you're discarding the Masquerade, you're discarding anything with madness.
Yep. And the poor person in this artwork has lost their mind and doesn't have a hat.
Right, they're being tormented by paintings that mm-hmm. are pointing and laughing at them. But yeah, this is super solid in this format. Like this gets the job done.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, moving on.
Moving on. Ulrich's Kindred. That's Ulrich's Kindred. Ulrich.
How about Ulrich?
Ulrich.
Ulrich.
Ulrich's Kindred.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a little funnier, even.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Red and two for a 3/2 wolf at uncommon. Trample. Green and three. Target attacking wolf or werewolf gains indestructible until end of turn.
Well, ooh. On the plus side, you don't have to worry about ever activating it. Like, 3-mana 3/2 trample is just fine.
Right, like we talked up the 3/3, you know, for three being able to be a good attacking creature, and this kind of can play the same role. Yeah, you're usually threatening the activation more than anything else. That's
yeah, and that's decent, and I guess it can target itself. So unless it is no longer a wolf or a werewolf, which would be sad.
That'd be weird. I don't know. I don't think that can occur, at least in this
maybe,
set.
Yeah.
But no, this is for the deck that uses a lot of the, you know, red and green werewolves. This is a card I'd love to have on the table just because of how much it absolutely makes combat difficult. Again, the threat of the activation is enough. So, solid wolf.
Mm-hmm. Next we get Saber Wolf.
Let's take a look at Uncaged Fury. Red and two for an instant at common. Target creature gets +1/+1 and gains double strike until end of turn.
So what was it that you kept calling this card when we cast it?
I kept calling it Armed.
Armed.
In reference to a card from Dragon's Maze called Armed and Dangerous. Armed was a 2-mana sorcery that did the same thing, +1/+1 and double strike. This is three, but instant speed means you just get to go, you know, I attack with my team, and they go, okay, block, block, block. And it's like, oh, that one isn't blocked? Wha-bam!
You didn't block Cobblebrood! You're a fool!
You did block Cobblebrood! You're a fool anyway! Like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, powerful trick. Like, handing off double strike lets you, again, just steal a game with the power of the Saber Wolf.
Yep. That's about all I have to say about it. Like, I can imagine making a deck that would want two of these, but I don't really want to play that deck necessarily. That would be like, I have to steal every game in order to win it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just playing theft? That sounds just fine.
Just like any creature that has more than one power and is red and like less than five cost or whatever.
Yep. just get on him. All right, next up, we have the Vessel of Volatility. Red and one for an enchantment at common.
Mm-hmm.
Red and one, sacrifice Vessel of Volatility. Add red, 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 red to your mana pool. Four red mana to your red mana pool.
This card makes me so mad.
This card makes me laugh for the exact same reason it makes you so mad.
Yeah, maybe common red, it's number 16 in my set.
One red for an enchantment that mm-hmm. has a very similar... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's like... The difference between the card that I made and this is one cost off of the mana cost added to the activation cost, giving you five red instead of four.
Which means that if you play it and draw it and immediately crack it, you're at plus one rather than neutral. Mm-hmm. Like, if you play this and crack it immediately, you've gained nothing.
Hooray! So volatile.
So, this is part of a cycle. The rest of the cycle does not share this card's...
crappiness?
Yeah, that's what
uselessness?
I'm looking for. Kind of like, doesn't do anything. The point being, Delirium exists, and they want to give ways to get, like, different card types into the graveyard.
Yeah, which so, the red one is not doing,
no.
Which is sad. But all the others are a little better at that.
Yeah. Now I'm sad this isn't, like, Seal of Fire. So, anyway.
Right, I guess they... Okay, they all had to be, like, vessels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vessel of something. Couldn't we have... Actually, any other red spell, like, man, even like a little red spell that was like, two target creatures can't block this turn or some nonsense, you know?
Yeah, they gave, you know, red gets mono reds, but also red can only get bad mono reds, like, whatever. All
right, fast mana can't be good anymore. Right.
So that it exists anyway. Moving on, Voldaren Duelist. Red and three for a 2/3 Vampire Warrior at common. Haste. When Voldaren Duelist enters the battlefield, target creature can't block this turn.
One correction. I'm reading this as a 3/2.
Oh, did I say 2/3?
You said 2/3.
Then this is a 3/2.
Which would still be fine, but I think this shines a little brighter as a 3/2.
All right.
Man, this set has a lot of 3/2s. Jeez.
Yeah, 3/2 is the super common body in this set. This card's really dang good. As far as, like, aggressive creature goes. Like, you know, you...
you can't block my guy because he has menace. Oh, also, you can't block anything.
Yeah.
I'm attacking you. I'm stealing your breakfast. I can eat it at any time of the day.
I am a vampire.
What is with the outfit? Like, they're, like, bell nuts
cloak.
On the end of the... I don't understand what the deal with that is.
Like, what is this... What am I being dueled at here?
I think,
like,
you're being dueled at being a one vampire band, and those are all tambourines.
I can't win that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
It's got all the tambourines.
Yeah.
Anyway. I have yet to find my equal at the dance-off.
Anyway, moving on to the last card. Wolf of Devil's Breach. Red, red, and three... for a 5/5 elemental wolf at mythic rare. Whenever Wolf of Devil's Breach attacks, you may pay red and one and discard a card. If you do, Wolf of Devil's Breach deals damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the discarded card's converted mana cost.
Well,
so, you talked about elemental wolves.
I did! You can have an elemental wolf.
You can.
I honestly think this is just a gorilla. Like, 5/5.
Even with that, yeah, if this didn't have the text, you would still be 100% fine with it. The text makes it a lot more powerful for one obvious reason and one less obvious reason. The first being, if your 5/5 can attack and then just, like, kill a creature immediately the moment it turns sideways, that's great. But madness exists is the second part. So even
yeah,
if you,
that's a little harder because this as a madness outlet is a trigger when you attack and has a cost attached to it.
Correct. Though you do have you do have 5 mana, hopefully, unless you cast this off of a vessel.
Yeah. Like, okay, how about this? It casts Incinerate when it attacks, or you can have it cast Incinerate when it attacks. How about that?
That's kind of what it's doing, and sometimes that Incinerate was you discarding Fiery Temper, so you get the double Incinerate.
Man, that would rule. And it would only cost as much as Fiery Temper. Man.
Yeah. Like, that's not going to happen too often. A lot of the time, this is just, like, turn card into burn spell, you know? Because of the...
Hey, that's a use for Vessel of Volatility.
Ah, deal two... Sweet. I could actually make the Vessel deal some damage. No, this is still a super strong card.
Yeah. No. Don't let me get you down on your mythic rare... Gorilla Elemental Wolf. It's perfectly fine. And that's all with all the cards that we have for red.
Yeah, red.
I wanted to start with red because it's my favorite color in the set, and kind of in general.
It's good. There's it's deep.
It is pretty deep. We have a lot of trickiness. We have some like going over the top power, like multiple like rare mythic rare flyers and stuff. Cobble Brute is reasonable to include for reasons. Insolent Neonate and Mad Prophet are these like common and uncommon role players that just get to do whatever you need.
It's kind of strange in this set with between Insolent Neonate, Mad Prophet, and Tormenting Voice. You know, with madness cards, red actually can pull off like realistic card draw for the first time in whatever.
It still has to be like either bad or weird, which, you know, we're not there yet.
But I'm happy this is a step in the correct direction.
Maybe I'll just keep printing cards in my set and then they'll steal my ideas, so I'll just have to print cards that I want to see.
That's a good way to do it.
I swear to God, they have been in my set file. The Fiends? How'd they get access to that?
I don't know. It must be it's out in the cloud. They must have the cloud somewhere.
Ugh. Well, anyway, that's the color red. We will do the rest of the set going by color, and then probably do one that is double-faced cards. I think there are enough to just have like double face as its own.
And then we have the rest.
And then we have the rest, which will be great. It'll be a lot of casts. Gonna get through it.
A lot of casts and a lot of skulls.
Skulls!